If you've ever questioned yourself and tried to figure out whether or not you're dealing with someone who might really be a narcissist, today's video might come in handy for you. I'll be sharing a recording that was sent to me by a fellow survivor who would like some feedback on the recording, as well as to share it for the benefits of other survivors. So that's exactly what we're going to do today at queenbeing.com. We're going to listen to this recording and kind of analyze it and figure out what it all means. So let's get started.
Closed captioning provided by Athena Moberg and CPTSDFoundation.org.
I'm Angie Atkinson, and this is Toxic Relationship Rehab, where I help you discover, understand, and overcome toxic relationships. So if you want to take back your life, embrace your power, and become the best possible version of yourself, stick with me, hit that subscribe button, and let's get going. So I got an email from a subscriber who we're going to call Jane. That's not her real name, but she did ask me to protect her identity, so that's what I'm going to do. She says to me, I have a conversation that I recorded between myself and my ex-husband, and she said, I thought your viewers might want to listen to it, and I thought you might like to use it to help other people, but please do disguise his identity. So I asked her to send the conversation after she asked me if it was okay for her to do that. And this is where it gets interesting. Before we start listening to the recording, I'd like to share with you a little bit of background information because I think this is going to be really helpful in understanding what we're listening to. So a little background information. Jane is autistic. Jane met this person when she was just under 20 years old, and he was 20 years older than her. Jane was his third wife, and she added that herself and the other two wives had all three divorced this person. Jane says that this person was unfaithful not only to herself, but also to the two previous wives before her. She said he also often has fallouts with his family, his friends, and insisted that he would never speak to them again, but then the moment that he needed something, he would come running, and he would get them all to rally around him. Now, this conversation happened during a time, she said, while she was secretly planning her escape, as in she had plans to move out. She said he had no idea, and she had broken up with him. While they were still living together, he had struggled to accept the fact that they were actually broken up. She said she ended their marriage previously several years ago, and she had been put into a special program by the police to keep her safe. She said a couple years later, he found her and persuaded her to come back, and said that she had broken his heart because she left him, and added that because he had never actually been dumped before, she was the first person to actually break it off with him. This was devastating to him. She said about a year of dating later, she moved back in with him. And while they were legally married, they were still legally separated because they had been apart for several years up to this point. She said during that time, he started to cheat on her all the time. He was financially abusing her and also addicted to drugs and alcohol. And therefore, she got some general bullying from him as well. So at that point, that's when she ended the relationship again, but she felt like she was trapped in the house because she didn't have any money or means to leave. So prior to this night happening, she'd been out of town working during the summer for a couple of months, and when she returned, she said he attacked her, and then because he was terrified of the police, she thought, faked a heart attack. Well, it turned out that he actually did have several small heart attacks that evening. She offered to get him an ambulance at that time. He refused, so she went on ahead and went to work. She assumed he was faking. It turned out he wasn't lying, and he really did have 5 small heart attacks. She said another time she took him to the hospital, he had a minor surgery, and while he didn't want her help in the hospital, he did want her to take the day off work and take care of him, and she said she did, of course, because that was a human thing to do. She said during that time he was going back and forth between calling her every name under the sun and insisting that he still loved her, and she added that he had a terrible relationship with his children. Most of them didn't even send him a Father's Day card. None of them visited him after the surgery. She said he'd go back and forth between wanting her completely out of his life to wanting her to be basically his wife and best friend. So, like I said, the conversation begins where she is already planning her escape, but he doesn't know it. So let's take a listen to it. Here you go.
I really don't see how you think it's a good idea me moving out and us staying or married.
I think you're moving out. It means you
no, me moving out is a great idea.
And wake me up at the middle of the night, and then I'm awake all f***ing night. You know, blah, 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 and then I take delivery of 20 parcels a f***ing day, embarrassed like a f***ing sheep that all these people keep coming to my door for all this insignificant garbage that doesn't make one iota of difference in this house to me, and I'm sick of all that mess, and I'm sick of too much stuff every f***ing where. I need you.
Except the majority of the stuff in the room of death is actually yours. Yeah, well.
The majority of what?
The stuff in the room of death, most of that's actually yours.
Mm-hmm. But when you take your stuff out, it's manageable. because you can get access to your stuff.
This place was a nightmare before I moved in. You're the one that told me to give up my flat and party. You're the one that wanted me to be here.
I cannot do that. Yeah, I wanted you to be here, but you've made your position f***ing horrific.
No, you've made everything horrific.
No, I've not made anything horrific. I had a heart attack and you weren't there. That's the difference.
I was there trying to put a roof over your head.
Sorry, no, that's not it at all. No.
Alright, so I wasn't going to work to pay the bills, alright.
No,
cool.
You were, but that's not the point.
So what is the point? Or would you rather have come out of hospital to no fucking house?
That wasn't going to be the case. Because
why? You wouldn't cooperate with the benefits people so we couldn't get benefits.
No.
I haven't got a job that gives me the luxury of getting paid time off. Oh, I haven't got a job. No. Okay, fine.
No, you've got shifts.
It's still a job though, isn't it?
Yeah, when you're doing it.
Yeah, the same with any fucking job though, isn't it?
So, you might go down that road. Silly girl. The point is really clear. I cannot stand this messy life that you live. You're surrounded by shite and garbage.
I can't stand being in this fucking house more than 2 minutes with you. You drive me up the wall.
What to do then is what we need to make sure is that you've got a place to live that we can both support, and I've got a place to live that we can both support, and you can get your space. And that is vital.
You're out of your tiny mind.
I'm really not.
Once I'm gone, that's it.
Yeah, well, go. If that's the case and that's your choice, go. That man. I've gave you.
No, what you want is some kind of fucking fuck buddy for me to go and move out. Well, what do you mean by I go and move out? No, what do you mean by you want me to go and move out, but you want to come and visit me and stay married? What the fuck is that? Or what?
Just lower your voice.
Or what?
It's late at night and stop shouting and have some consideration for the neighbours.
You think this is shouting? Are you being fucking serious?
Behave. The bottom line is that that can in fact work because we don't fuck and I have no desire to fuck you. And you have no desire to fuck me. So what are you talking about? You were the one instigating that. You started that. That was the first sign something was afoot. And it happened in July.
No, Shan was afoot. No, it was way more than that.
You are such a dick. If you think in your tiny disabled brain that that girl has got anything to do with your marriage, you are a dick.
She broke us up the first time, and the second time.
Oh my god!
Yeah, since you took her side over mine with this whole drama website shit.
I can't talk to you about that. That's just not. I've said to you turn left, and you went right.
No. Whatever. By the way, is coming to get a watch back at any point?
No idea, but you're not selling it.
What did you think of that? Jane told me that after this conversation happened, she finally was able to move out without warning, and since then has had no direct contact with him. She said she did file for divorce and it has been granted, but during the time that she was filing for divorce, a sibling of the ex stalked and terrorized her until finally she was able to get a restraining order and he was unable to continue. She said that when she finally did get her divorce, even though she knew it was the right thing to do and it was the best thing she could have done, she did cry for a couple of days. And I think that's normal because we all have to grieve these relationships. Even though they're not healthy and even though we know that we shouldn't be in them, they're still are normal. And we do have to grieve that stuff. We still spent a certain amount of time with these people. In this case, she spent more than a decade with this man. She said she's still struggling and still finding it really difficult. And the fact that she was 19 when they met and she is autistic, she says, makes it even more difficult for her. She said he isolated her from everyone that she knew, from making her quit school to isolating her from her family and alienating them from her. She said she hasn't spoken to most of her family members in years because of him. She added that one of the hardest things that she dealt with this person was his refusal to fight for them. In her case, even though he kept coming back, as you heard in that conversation, he would say, if that's how you feel, then go. Just go. And she wondered, why didn't he ask, how can we make this better? Could we try something else? Or can we just talk about it? She said that it made her feel awful and worthless and not good enough. Why wouldn't he try it for her? And then she added that she still does have strong feelings for him, but she'll never tell him that. And I get it, my friend. I totally get it. Some narcissists do refuse to fight for you, and they just push you away like you're nothing. Others will actually fight so hard you feared leaving at all. But that's not because they're fighting for you. That's because they're fighting to keep their favorite sort of narcissistic supply on hand. It really just depends on the situation and the type of narcissist. I get the impression that this guy kind of does the martyr thing, so he may have been a more covert type. I don't know how his personality was when they met, but I assume it was enough to attract her and bring her in. She said she made this recording in the first place because he would gaslight her so often that she began to doubt her own sanity. He would often tell her, you just make things up as you go along, don't ya? And as we all know, that's pretty common for narcissists in varying iterations. While we aren't going to diagnose this man as a narcissist, we can certainly look at this situation and recognize certain patterns and signs there. We can also recognize that, diagnosis or not, this guy is toxic to Jane's life, and that's exactly what we should all avoid. Yes, he gaslights her. Yes, he treats her terribly. And yes, she deserves better, and she's worth more than that. Please remember that if someone is making you feel terrible about yourself or your life, if every time you spend time with a person it's horrible and miserable, if every time you turn around this person is making you feel like you don't matter or you're not important, or if you stress out when they're on their way home because you know that bad things are about to happen, you deserve better than that. You don't deserve to live in fear and angst. You deserve to live with peace and happiness in your life. It's true. Please don't forget. All right, now this brings me to the question of the day. And the question of the day is, could you relate to this conversation today, and what did you think about it? How would have you advised Jane to deal with this person, and what are your thoughts on the conversation? Share your thoughts, share your ideas, share your experiences in the comment section below, and let's talk about it. Take a look at this video if you'd like to learn more. Before I go, I just want to say a really quick thank you to everyone who watches my videos, likes my videos, comments on my videos, shares my videos. By doing that, you're helping me to reach more survivors of narcissistic abuse. And that's truly my mission in life, so thank you for that. While I'm here, I'd like to also say a quick thank you to my channel members, those people who choose to support me through the channel membership program here on YouTube. And you can see their names scrolling right there. Thank you sincerely for your support. It means the world to me. Before I go, take a look at the videos I'm leaving for you right there and right there. And while you're here, hit that subscribe button so we can stay connected and continue on this healing journey together. As always, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life. And hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. I'll see you soon.